What's going on, pursuers? Welcome to The Pursuit of Calling, the podcast that provides you with the strategies and tools needed to successfully discover and pursue your calling. Whether it's through inspiring stories, thought-provoking interviews, or quick, insightful episodes on personal growth and development, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Thomas Carney. Enjoy the episode. All right. Welcome, Brian, to the Pursuit of Calling podcast.
Good to be here.
And for everyone listening, I met Brian. Brian and I met at the Maxwell Leadership Conference, an international Maxwell Conference, and which you've heard me talk about many times. And we met particularly at the DISC station, which DISC you've heard me talk about before. It's particularly around, DISC profile and as a personality, more or less a personality, assessment. I was going to call it a test, but it's more like, I would call it more of an assessment, for you to one, know where you're at, but then also people can use it on their teams to figure out where they're at as well. So I wanted to bring Brian on to get a different get his perspective. Him being, since he was at the DISC, I asked him to be on the podcast at the conference, at the station, after we had our discussion, and figured it'd be really cool to have somebody that, like, would volunteer for that position, volunteer or pay, I don't know actually how you got to that spot, but, like, at the station, but to be a person that answered questions after the event about DISC. So I figured I could ask some questions, I get some answers, and maybe you guys will learn something new too. So, so now I'll give you a little bit of intro, Brian. So, who would you say that you are? Who is Brian?
Well, Brian is a problem solver at heart. My background is as an engineer, actually a chemical engineer. So I worked for over 33 years in the rubber chemistry field and working for three companies, but always at the same location. So basically one company then sold us, another company bought it. It was purchased by a equity firm who built it up to sell it to somebody else. So, but I was always a rubber chemist. I did some product sales, but most of my time was as a rubber chemist in making rubber belt products. So we made anywhere from the company as a whole made non-tires in my whole career. And my part was always in the belt industry, automotive belts, lawnmower belts, exercise bands are all kind of related to that same area. But I joined Maxwell in 2015. And so while doing that, they highly encourage you to learn something and apply it. And so one of those things was mastermind. So I immediately started doing a mastermind with my engineering team. And then I went to the engineering department we're in and opened it up to them. And I was having fun doing that. Went on to do more with the permission of the plant manager at the manufacturing location I was at. Both the permission of the plant manager and the personnel manager, HR manager, very well supportive of it for many, many years. But eventually we were then purchased by a company that was headquartered out of Germany. And after a few years, my new engineering manager said, we don't want you doing any more leadership mastermind studies and leadership development. We want you to step back and just do your engineering job. Mm-hmm. You know, and at that point, I've been doing masterminds and leadership development with people that were interested in growing for 6 years. And so that's kind of the difference of demonstration between a manager and a leader. A manager tells you what you're going to do. Or you're not going to do, and a leader says, you've been doing this for 6 years. what do you like doing about it? You know, we know people are enjoying it. How do we figure out how to make more of this, and how do we, you know, how does it really add value to the company? So when I was managed and not led, I then said, how do I get out of this? Because if you're going to tell me I can only do the engineering job I've been doing for 33 years and not something I've grown into for the last six, then I guess you really don't care about me and my personal growth that I've invested in, because I involve myself with Maxwell at both the certification level, the mentorship level, and I would take vacation each year so I could invest in me. And, you know, now the company says, you know, we don't want you using any of that on site. So I had to choose to move on or step back. And it just didn't seem right for me to step back and not use what I've been investing thousands of dollars in. I guess I must figure out how to do it on my own. So at that time also, I had already been part of the DISC program. And DISC is, you're right, Thomas, it's a personality and behavior assessment. It's not a test. There's no way to test and say, hey, you have a good or wrong behavior or personality. Everybody has the personality that they have. And I like to break the personality assessment into three steps. First step is understanding who I am. The second step is understanding there are other personalities and their personality is perfect for them. And so the third step then is proper communication depends on me understanding the other person's personality and reception style, their communication style, and not just the way I want to communicate. It's much like if you go to a foreign country and you can say, hey, everyone, English is the international language, so you must speak English because I speak English, and we're going to all speak the international language. The problem is, if they don't speak English, you can demand all you want for them to speak English, but they're not going to learn it in the next 20 seconds. So the problem is mine. I have to point to things, draw pictures. I have to figure out how to communicate what I am looking for, whether it's something to eat, looking for the bathroom. You know, it's my problem to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I like to demonstrate communication is the third step in truly understanding behavior. It's the communicator's situation and challenge to communicate, not just the receiver's way to figure out what's going on. So, and I learned DISC in 2018, 2019. And then once you're involved with Maxwell at the mentorship level, at least you have opportunities then to serve at the conferences when you go back. And so it's called the President's Advisory Council, or PAC for short, President's Advisory Council, PAC. And so in about 2019, after being on DISC, I volunteered to serve. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe it was more like 2021. I was then applying to serve with PAC, and served on the PAC team, on the DISC team for a couple of years. And then the guy that had been chairing it for a number of years decided to step back, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, Brian, would you like to take over the chairperson's role for this? All volunteer. It's all volunteer service, and being in charge is still a volunteer position. So it just was my opportunity to step up and do a little more and make a bigger difference. And so, I've been part of serving at that DISC booth for a couple of years now, full time. And, you know, it's a great. The best way to learn is to do something with what you're learning. So that was probably way more than you wanted for an introduction to Brian, but there we go.
Yeah. Well, like what you said there, the best way to learn is to do something with what you're learning. That's a good little tidbit for people to write down. Like they said at the conference, learn a little, do a little. That was the quick little Chris Robinson sentence.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this podcast is called The Pursuit of Calling, and now you kind of already dove into it a little bit. With all the stuff you just gave us, but I want to talk about your calling in particular. So whenever I think about calling, I have my own thoughts. I have my own, I believe your calling goes with you wherever you go, no matter what you're doing, where you are. But I wanted to ask you that question to see how you interpret that and talk about you a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that. And, let me back up a little bit. Yes, we talked about who is Brian Peterson, and that's who is Brian Peterson from the professional. The personal part is I'm married, and my spouse is also my business partner. We have two daughters. One of them is married, and I have a great son-in-law, and we have three grandchildren. Mm. So that is a little more personal part of me. And my calling has often been, I grew up with the phrase lead, follow, or get out of the way. So, I don't like to complain about what's not getting done. If something's happening and needs some attention, I will step up and lead. Now, I will try not to step on people's toes in doing that, because if it seems like it is should fall within someone else's realm of responsibility, I might try to see what their perspective on it is. If they're limited in some fashion, then I figure out, do I just want to volunteer to step up and do it, and I'm not looking to be paid for it, type of thing. But sometimes there's just a right and wrong way to do some things. And sometimes the right way is just simple action. Mm-hmm. And so I believe in acting and getting something done. So what I look at in my calling is about leading self and leading yourself with your money. So sometimes it's about how you lead your money. Mm-hmm. Make choices with your money. It's about how you lead yourself with your relationships. And again, that first relationship is yourself. Another one is your money. It's all about relationships. But sometimes it's about your family, your team, and that's why I like DISC so well. It's one of the simple tools to better understand that basic relationship parameter going on. I also have a certification to help people in their relationship with God, in their faith. It's called God Personal Social. So again, part of that is your relationship with yourself. Part of it's a relationship in your faith and with God. And part of it's that relationship then with people in that faith realm.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. I haven't heard of that God Personal Social certification. That's pretty cool. I'm gonna have to look into that. I took a note on that. And with all that being said, and you saying that DISC one is a useful tool to help you in these specific certain ways. We already answered the question, what is DISC? We talked about it being a assessment to figure out personalities, yours or in certain circumstances, you will be use it. Coaches can use it as tools to help others figure out theirs. But why is that useful? Why is it useful to know your DISC profile?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess the simplest way is, who wouldn't want to know about themselves. I mean, it's easy to, you know, ask one's parents and say, hey, mom and dad, you know, what do you think I'm good at? Or ask a spouse or a close friend and understand what they think you're good at. And often we will trust them. But at the same time, a lot of times we will kind of second guess our own thoughts about what we're good at. We will second guess say downgrade when people say nice things about us, sometimes it's our nature to not take them at full face value. Mm-hmm. So when you take an assessment, that becomes much more of a third party impartial evaluation. Mm-hmm. And it says, hey, you know, this is where you're strong at, and this is where, you know, you're not so strong at, and understanding that it's okay to not be strong at everything. You know, we aren't going to be an expert at everything, but we all have strengths in some areas. And if we're going to be successful, and by successful, not necessarily financial, but by successful, we feel reward, we feel joy, we feel mm-hmm. we've done something of value in what we do. We will have done that in areas that we find that we're good at. Rarely are we going to take something that we're not necessarily good at and work on it in such a level that it becomes a strength. And that's okay. We're going to be successful in the things that we're good at. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I like, especially with Maxwell DISC, is not only do we understand our strengths and our behavior, but Maxwell joined with a company to create this Maxwell DISC assessment to understand one's leadership strengths as well. And again, mm-hmm. many times when I talk to people about what their leadership strengths are, they more easily focus on what they're not good at with their leadership strengths, because they say, oh, well, I don't really connect well to people. Well, connection to people is one part of it, but mm-hmm. the detailing, the creativity, you know, there are other aspects of leadership that can be strengths and not necessarily, you know, in areas that you most commonly would think of. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even there's a certain level of management that is a part of leadership that is good tools. And there's nothing wrong with being a good manager. You know, it may just mean you can run a process and you can deal with the nuts and bolts of something in a very effective manner, supporting the person that is dealing with the people aspect of things. Mm-hmm. And so when you understand where your strengths really lie from a Maxwell DISC assessment tool, mm-hmm. you can focus more on where you're strong and not, you know, and basically you hire or you find other ways to have somebody else deal in the things that you're not so strong at.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that'd be really useful for the listeners would be, I told you my profile as it's called a contemplator. I think it's a CDS, and I was curious if you could, I know this is off the cuff, but I was curious if you could tell me and tell the listeners a little bit more about that personality profile, what it means.
Okay. Yeah, you are catching me a little bit off guard, but so the CDS, let me back up with a little explanation. When people would take an assessment, the most common assessment involves two letters, D, I, S, or C. So it's two of those letters. Mm-hmm. I'm going to back up even further. First, sure. Say, I know your podcast, I believe it was March 25th, as you're kicking off some of your highlights of the whole Maxwell conference, you really dug into this. So there's a great explanation already there for understanding what DISC stands for. So people can go back and listen to that. So the DISC styles break up into combinations of the DISC letters. Mm-hmm. And so two letters are the most common to have a person style, their personality style is described by two letters. Occasionally, it's described by three letters. Less occasionally, it would be described as only one letter. And it's never described with four letters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever has all four letters, at least, not a living person. We'll say it that way. So at CDS means that the most dominant style is the C, and that style is described as being one that is reserved and task focused. Mm-hmm. So that's just, maybe just break down those three letters first of all. So the second letter was D. So that is a outgoing, task-oriented style. And the S is a reserved, people-oriented style. So in a CDS, that means Thomas sees himself, because there's three graphs that we get in the Maxwell chart. So a CDS means that Thomas sees himself primarily as a more reserved person because of the C and S styles, and more task-oriented because it's a CD style, first of all, and the S brings up a little bit of the reserved people style. So it's a great style, and all styles are great, but Thomas has a great style because he is task-oriented and people-oriented, all combined. He has the nature to be able to see aspects of both parts. I will tangent off that to myself. My style is a CD, and so, you know, there are times where, hey, I'm working in a people-oriented industry with the coaching and Maxwell leadership, and at times it's like, why can't I have a people aspect to me? Now, I do on one of the charts. It's just not how I typically see myself. I see myself as predominantly a task-oriented self, which, not a big surprise. That's why I was an engineer for 33 years, right?
Yep.
But just to give myself just a little bit of an opportunity to say there is people side in me. I was also a lay pastor for about 9 years. Hmm. So it's not that I don't care about people. I do like people. Okay, I do like people. It just, I'm a little stronger on the task side. So, but anyway, back to that CDS. Okay. C and D. So let me also just give a description of how this lays out again to give people just a very brief description of DISC. So if you would write down the letters DISC in a clockwise fashion, starting with the D in the upper left side, and then the I is in the top right side, S is in the lower right side, and C is in the bottom left side, that's how DISC chart is forms. So the D and the C are on the left side, so that's the task-oriented side. The S and the I and the S are on the left, on the right-hand side, so that's the people-oriented side. So that's how that breaks out. And with the D and the I, that's the top side, that's the outgoing side. The S and C on the bottom are the reserve style. So Thomas is first task-oriented because of the C and the D are on the left side, and the S is on the people side on the right. And so it's a balance of task and people, and a little bit outgoing at times with the D. So it's about using your style and understanding your style, but then adjusting how you react according to the people as you meet. So one of the most fun things to do with DISC, and my wife and I practice this all the time while watching movies, is trying to guess, you know, what's their style? You know, is the person reserved, or are they outgoing? Are they people-oriented, or are they task-oriented? And, you know, listening to the things that they say and how they do helps to know how they're going to react in certain situations. If a person is very task-oriented and they're going to get into a dangerous situation, they may be the one that's giving orders and making the decisions, because it's, you know, we got to kind of make an action here. So let's you do this and I'll do that. And it's just, it's a way to practice the style when you're dealing with it all the time, as in our particular coaching, training, speaking careers that we do, being able to connect to people.
Mm-hmm. I want to give, well, two things. As you were talking, I'm like, man, would it be really cool if they could see my, an example of a profile. I was like, oh, well, I can just link mine in a Google Drive and put in the show notes and people can check it out. So I'm going to do that. feel free to look over that. And I think one thing that's really cool, it gives you like who your personality profile is similar to of people of history. So like I have like Aristotle and like Einstein. I'm like, man, that makes me feel pretty good. I think Mother Teresa was on there too. And I'm like, man. The other thing I thought of, happens sometimes.
Yep. Well, let me just give you a quick other story from a disparate perspective. So before I was told not to do some of the Maxwell leadership stuff in my corporate job, yep. I had the opportunity to do DISC assessments with the plant manager and the whole production team. And all the work I ever did was just because I was already salaried. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that, assessments are not free. So I was able to get compensated for all the assessments. And so must have done about 20, 25 assessments type of thing. Mm. And one of the more interesting parts of this, again, remember, the first step is knowing who you are. The second step is knowing who others are. And the third step is communicating in their language. So when the plant manager found out that they were a strict D, okay, and a D personality is really 3% of the population.
Hmm.
Now, when the plant manager found out they were a D, what should they do? They should go, 97% of the population is different than me. I have a challenge to communicate to the 97% of the population that is not who I am.
Mm,
instead, the plant manager said, now you all know that I'm a D. You deal with it and figure out how to talk to me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's not how that works.
It's like, oh my gosh, this is completely wrong.
Sounds like a deep personality, though.
It does. It's like, and unfortunately, didn't get much chance to be able to work through that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just shortly before COVID happened, and then that kind of created some new problems. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I remember you sharing that reminded me of what I wanted to share. It was actually at the conference. This is just a funny little story before we wrap up. So I was in my room and I was like going through stuff, and I picked up a shirt that I recently bought at the little gift store they had there, and I should have wore it today, but I had a. Whenever I bought it, I was looking for something. So I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. So I picked it up, got it off the hanger, bought it, and took it to my room. And then I got back, and then I like kind of didn't do much until a little bit later, recorded an episode of the podcast. And I was like, okay. And I decided to look at the shirt, realized in my head I'd never looked at the size.
Oh.
So I looked at it, and I'm a pretty slim dude, and it's an extra large. And it kind of worked out. Thin hoodie. So I was like, okay, hoodies can be baggy, but I was like, I'm gonna go try and return it and I'm gonna see if they're still there. It was later in the day, so I knew it was slim. But I took it and I was like, okay, I'm gonna walk down there. And then I guess I filled up my water bottle. So I brought my water bottle with me, and there was a water station filled on my way down. And I went, filled up my water bottle. But wouldn't you know it, there's people that had already talked to that day standing. Well, one guy that was at my table and Yolanda, who was on stage, who was one of the speakers that spoke on going through the speaking certification and did that. And she, I was talking to, and I stopped, talked to all of them for a second, was just going to say hi, and then stood and talked to them for about 2 hours and forgot about my shirt. And I told that to them, and they're like, how did you, like, you're a high C. How did you, like, not look at the shirt size? Or, like you were, I like, one track mind straight there, and then I was, like, sidetracked. Because I was, like, I'd sit there and talk to people. So, you saying the S part, there's more people-oriented. I feel like that shows a nice mix of my style pretty well. You know, it's like, man. Yeah, just give like people like it's not just these profiles aren't just like for professional use. They're not just in your professional world. They're also they go throughout your just like your calling, like your personality is with you all the time. So like it has to do with how I speak to people. Sometimes I have a plan to head out the door at events, and I'm like I'm gonna go. So I'm just going to go say bye to somebody that I just saw for the first time. Hi, bye. Sorry. My mind's already ready to leave, to head out the door. And that's just, that's how my personality works out. And like, sometimes I have to like, you know, catch myself, in those certain situations. But, with all that being said, I think this, if you get the opportunity, and I don't know, Brian, if you know of a easy way for somebody to get a, get an assessment. I don't off the top of my head. I don't have the this certification to provide it for people. But I wanted to, I know that was random in my brain, just kind of how my brain works. But I wanted to see if you knew of any way that somebody could get their assessment done.
Sure. But let me add to that your story, because one other thing that we did not cover is the fact that understanding DISC styles between couples. And my wife also works, as I said, works with me. We're married, plus we work together. And she also serves on the DISC booth as well. And we love doing DISC workshops for people. Mm-hmm. But the DISC assessment is one of the best tools that we have found to understand each other. Mm-hmm. And let me just explain, since I'm the C and she's opposite corner, that would be an I. Mm-hmm. And when I'm a D, her opposite letter is an S. I mean, so our predominant characteristics are opposites and our secondary characteristics are opposites. Mm-hmm. So we have what we affectionately call some intense fellowship opportunities between the two of us. And just to be clear, that means it's intense and it's the fellowship is not the best fellowship, okay? So just mm-hmm. be clear what that means. Like many couples, we don't always see eye to eye. And so that becomes a challenge. Mm-hmm. But by understanding what each style is, we can somewhat, you know, not offend the other person as deeply as we have in the past. So the tool is very valuable for all interpersonal relationships. I'd be willing to work with somebody to do an assessment. The thing I do not do is just do an assessment and you go read the 30-page results on your own. Mm-hmm. If you want a free assessment, you can find free DISC assessments online and you'll get exactly what you pay for in free. Mm-hmm. You'll get a one page that says a little bit about what your style is, and you'll get exactly what you paid for it. Now, I do an assessment and I do not charge a lot as much as some do. I'm not going to give you the price over here, but if you want to reach out to me at I can give my email if Thomas is good with that. And I will do an assessment and do a debrief. So I think it is inappropriate for me to just give you a 30-page result for just the cost of the assessment without charging a little bit more so you fully understand what it can mean for you. Okay.
Yeah.
So my email is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at leadershipharbor.com. And you reach out to me, Brian at leadershipharbor.com, and you'd like to talk about an assessment. We can talk about how much that would cost and if you would be interested in what that means. I'd be willing to just share a free a free sample report so you can see what the 30-page report would look like. I mean, if Thomas is putting his up, you're going to see what a real person's assessment is. And if you've listened to Thomas and his, you know, doing his podcast, you get an understanding of, oh, this is why he does this and talks about it that way. You know, it's his style. You know, both his personality, but it'll come out in understanding. The C is about details. The D is about, you know, more about the tasks. And the S is that people caring side as well. So it'll help explain who Thomas is and how he's doing his whole podcast. You know, and if you'd like to understand this for you and or, you know, significant other or family members, we do assessments for children. There are children, once a child is about 8 to 10 years old, they have the capacity to answer the questions to do it. It's a much simpler assessment at that age. Older kids, you know, like in high school, age 16 and up, you know, there's an assessment that helps them understand. It's a career assessment. But we have, I love our basic assessment that we have, but there are the entrepreneurial, sales leader, and I'm leaving another one off, that, you know, are more targeted to a kind of a specific tool to understand how you may apply your DISC assessment into what you'd like to do with it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely going to put his email will be in the show notes for you guys and for you to reach out to him if you want to do an assessment. Yeah, I wanted to thank you for going through all of those because that's, again, I mentioned it wasn't for just not just for career and for personal, but then I like that you went into it's good in relationships, in relationships for kids and all those different aspects of life. So if you're looking for, if that's something that you'd be interested in, definitely reach out to Brian. So got a couple final questions for you just to, the big resource we talked about today was DISC. But when it comes to DISC or personality or, pursuing your calling, what are the certain, resources that you do typically, refer people to?
Well, I like to understand what people are really looking for. I have been a personal growth leadership junkie for most of my life, and it certainly has escalated once I decided to get involved with Maxwell Leadership. And every time John has a book come out, you know, every 12 to 18 months, he's got another book, and I'm reading that book, and then he brings other guests on and has some of their books, and I'm reading those too. So it's a matter of, what are you trying to learn? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to recommend a leadership book if you're really interested in, you know, how do I deal with better relationships and, you know, complicated people. There, you know, it would lead you to other subjects. I have favorites for me. You know, certainly Maxwell Leadership, where they talk about leadership, and Mark Cole, as John Maxwell's CEO of his company, does great discussions on leadership. Another one of my favorites is Ed Milet, and he talks about the power of one. Ed was a sports person coming out of school, and then when that he got injured, he is like, I got to figure out what else I'm going to do with my life. And, you know, he is a powerful faith person, a powerful leadership person, and very personable, down to earth. And I think he's an amazing person. I love listening to his podcast, and his Power of One is a huge story of basically of his dad. You know, is what that comes from. So I don't want to give that away. That's a whole talk all by itself. And, you know, we can have that talk, or you can really learn from Ed what that really means. Cause I'll say, cause I'm a father of girls. He can make you cry, you know, and he's a very emotional guy, and, he's pretty special.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for those. And as a, I've listened to In My Lane. I like his, I listened to the interview I remember the most is the one he did with John Maxwell, or one of them. but no, I definitely agree with all of those. I think those are all great podcasts that really anybody could probably benefit from. I think anybody would benefit from John Maxwell's teachings. Anybody would benefit from what Ed Mallett said, is teaching in his books and his podcast. So definitely go out and check those out, if not just one of them. So now that you've been on the podcast, this is a final question before we officially wrap it up. Now that you've been on, who would you recommend as a guest for the show?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess I know Marissa Nelson is an amazing woman. Started with nothing and has built several multi-million-dollar companies. Very financially astute, just an amazing person, and she's one to get to know.
Awesome. Well, I have her name down. So I will maybe ask you a little bit more about that offline, because I've not heard of her before. So I'll once we're done with the recording, we'll talk for a second, and then maybe we'll see what comes out of that. But Brian, thank you for coming on to the Pursuit of Calling podcast. I really do appreciate it. I said it probably two or three times before, but thank you for your yes. I am extremely happy with this conversation, and like just being able to like kind of catch you off guard with my profile. I thought that was kind of fun, and yeah, I appreciate it. For everybody that is listening, thank you for listening to this episode of the Pursuit of Calling podcast. And you already know, you can share it out on Instagram, Facebook, X, wherever you listen, wherever you use social media. Go ahead and share it out. And if you think anybody would particularly benefit from this this conversation on the DISC assessment, go ahead and share it out with them. I thought it was kind of a fun conversation to learn about something new. So go ahead and share it with those people as well. Don't forget to give it a 5-star review. And guys, keep pursuing your calling. I'll see you next time.